Before we get to tonight's Big Brother 20 season premiere recap, I want to mention the new Double Dare is back. On the new Double Dare, the trivia is tough and the challenges are rough and the giant nose is stuffed and you can't miss a single sloppy second of it. Host Liza Koshy and Double Dare legend Mark Summers are bringing you the messiest game show on TV. Don't miss the all-new Double Dare weeknights at 8, 7 Central, only on Nickelodeon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who runs the BB Rehab Store. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello and welcome back. So happy that you can join me here in my stash room as we get ready to talk about tonight's Big Brother 20 premiere. And I'm so excited to be here with Taryn Armstrong and Melissa Denny. So excited. We are here. We are here with a real life robot, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. Finally getting some representation on the show. It's finally a long time coming. And hopefully this does a lot for robot rights.
Yes, hopefully. And of course, with a person who is going through her own endurance challenge as she podcasts from a very hot room. Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
Yes, it is about 80 degrees in here, and I've been running my air conditioning for about 2 hours now, and it doesn't seem to be working. So I hope I don't die tonight. But as Rob, you said earlier, it's for a good cause.
For a good cause, yes. You should be so lucky to, we're all going to die, but it's a die for your art. Yeah. I feel like that would be spectacular. Anyway, So excited to have you guys here with us. We are streaming across our YouTube platform on Twitch TV, Periscope. Hope it's all working out tonight as we too are getting a high tech reboot for our 20th. It's 20th season of podcasting shows at least. So here we are. I don't know what this is. The ninth season of Big Brother US that I've done on Rob as a Podcast, a bunch of Big Brother Canada, Celebrity Big Brother. So we're getting close to 20. So that's something to talk about. And we have a lot to talk about here in a 2 hour premiere. We will take your questions. Use the hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by to go ahead and bring them into the show. Of course, the first of two nights here, a second night of the premiere is coming Thursday night, so be on the lookout for that. Of course, Taryn is ready to go. The live feeds are about to kick off on Thursday night. We will be standing by ready to watch when the feeds kick off coming up this Thursday night. So be on the lookout for that. You can get your live feeds at robhasawebsite.com/live feeds or click the banner on robhasawebsite.com to get a 1 week free trial of the live feeds from CBS All Access. All right, let's talk big picture. Melissa, what'd you think tonight?
I thought it was very jam-packed with a bunch of outdated looking new technology. It was like someone said on Twitter, it was like that was how they imagined the future would look like back in Big Brother One.
Yes.
But it was so fun to be back watching Big Brother. I always get so excited when Julie Chen comes out on stage. I wish they had done more with all of the previous house guests that were there in the audience. I mean, they like did a quick pan to them, but they didn't even introduce any of them or at least say their names.
A couple got lower thirded.
Just a couple. I had hoped they would do more or at least like show the house guests' reaction, the new house guests' reactions to seeing the old house guests. I don't know. I just felt like there was something more they could do. And, you know, the fact that they brought them all out and did nothing with them was like, what the heck?
Taryn, in your mind, what's the headline here for night one?
The app store, I guess, the new look of the house.
Store.
I
mean,
I personally feel like you've let us down with the graphics for this show. It just doesn't feel high tech enough to me.
Wow.
There's a new program called MS Paint. I feel like if you had gotten that, used that, we could have,
Fessy did on his app.
Exactly. At least get up to the standard of, Big Brother 20 and the high tech, tech. What was it? Tech-tastic? I don't know.
Tech-tastic.
Technical reboot. I loved the introduction of all the characters. That this was really, really fun tonight. I think I was laughing the whole first hour. I thought the second hour, I think I felt I could relate to the house guest that got stuck in the sticky goo a little bit. These competitions were like never ending. I felt like that they were pretty boring to watch. I felt like there was a lot of commercials in the second hour. It got saved in a big way by Sam the Robot at the end. There was some fun stuff with Swaggy C, but I can't believe we went through 2 hours and we don't even have had a household yet.
Yeah.
We're really dragging this out.
I really enjoyed the opening introducing us to the characters. It felt like I was really enjoying the cast. And then it just like all of a sudden it was, I don't think this was a 2 hour Big Brother premiere. I think it was a 1 hour Big Brother premiere. And then we saw the pilot episode for TKO. That's what
we saw a lot of TKO commercials.
Yeah,
it was a lot. It was many TKO commercials.
I totally agree. I feel like the first half was super exciting. I was very into it. I loved watching the introductions and seeing everyone go in the house and all that. And then I just felt like it kind of petered off and became less and less exciting. One of my least favorite parts of Big Brother is actually watching the competitions. I know that's like a lot of people love that stuff, but for me, I'd much prefer the socializing, the strategy, the talking, the diary rooms, whatever. Not so much watching people compete physically in challenges or having doors just like slowly swing at them or having knife blocks slowly swing at them. It was just like, okay. And I know that I hope that was their intention to have a throwback to BB6 when they did the surfboard competition in BB6. And that was really cool. But I also kind of wish they referenced that on the show rather than just like, oh, okay, you true fans might pick this out. I'd prefer them to be like, hey, this is kind of a throwback competition. Everyone, check it out. But, oh well.
Taryn, talk to me about the schedule here, because it looks like, from what I understand, and I don't know if Julie explicitly outlined this, that we will not have our first eviction until 1 week from tomorrow. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah. Our first, which I'm grateful for. I'm very happy that it is not like tomorrow night, watch, you know, Sam go home as a robot. No first night evictions. I'm grateful for that.
Not even first week evictions. I mean, it is going to be a long time still. We're going to have a week of live feeds with whoever is going to be the first, assuming that we don't turn on the live feeds tomorrow night and see that somebody has already left the game for some other non being voted out reason. But we will presume to be watching 16 house guests for the first week or so on the live feeds once everything kicks off. So that is very exciting. Taryn, it does feel like that they have done, I don't know if it's, I wouldn't quite call it Big Brother 10, but it feels like that we have really scaled everything back in terms of what we're throwing at these people. You know, we have the App Store, but other than that, this seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've turned back the clock to like Big Brother
doomsday clock to four minutes to midnight.
Exactly. Like we're going in the right direction again, but we're not quite at Big Brother 10 yet. We're still like BB16, BB17. But I appreciate the direction.
Look, this was what a lot of people were asking for. We got no returning players, no night one eviction, no battle of the block. I mean, Melissa, we should be, as Big Brother fans, pretty happy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I love how we're saying, like, there's no twists, there's nothing, when literally this whole first episode was essentially a twist where they divided the house up and they had them competing in different ways. And then one person gets to, you know, pick the people who are safe. Like, all of this is essentially a twist.
Yeah.
We're so used to like crazy twists where people are evicted night one that this is considered like, oh, we're back to basics. Wow. And it's not at all, really.
Okay. Well, let's talk through our house guests, because I feel like that there were a lot of things that we learned about the house guests tonight that we didn't quite get from any of the bios or the interviews, and people are kind of different than we anticipated. So let's just, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let's just real quick go through people in the order that we were introduced to them. Sam, she came in. She's about what we expected from Sam. Nobody saw her coming in and ultimately being turned into a robot. This was a worst case scenario for her because she does not like technology.
What I know about technology could fill a thimble. Yeah. I'm sweating like a nun in a cucumber patch.
Whoa. Whoa.
I really appreciated that line.
I'm sweating like a nun in the cucumber patch. Oh my God. I had not heard that colloquialism before. I had to Google that one. Whoa. Sam.
I had not heard that before either.
I mean, I feel like maybe I saw something in Sam. That's why I picked her for my draft. Mm-hmm. And that thing was that she's actually a robot.
She was ultimately going to be a robot. I love the robot twist. That is so fun. I do hope that, you know, she's actually a robot for more than like, you know, 10 minutes a day. It's so hilarious. Taryn, do you like this? I know you're you're staunch anti-twist, but do you like this?
I like it if it is like 10 minutes a day. I think it's a like extremely significant disadvantage if it's more than a short period of time per day for the first 2 weeks.
It's so much worse than the pinwheel of death. It's
incredibly way worse. Like, it's not even close. Like, you could even see when Angela's talking to the robot, it's so awkward. Like, you're never going to be able to have a genuine conversation speaking to a 90s robot. Like, it's not gonna happen. So you know, I hope that she has some opportunity to bond with these people.
It was so funny where they had to gather around and she's looking for Steve.
Hey, what's up, Steve?
What's up?
Well, I'm a robot.
Oh man, I just feel like it's really funny to watch, but yeah, it's totally a disadvantage unless somehow the house guests forget that she's there when they're talking and she can like pick up on details or pick up on conversations that she normally wouldn't be able to hear. But I feel like that's not going to happen. Yeah. So overall, just total disadvantage.
Taryn, we talked about this in the draft show. I thought that she would be really positioned well to earn apps from the viewers. Do you think that after her night one of showing her coming from living in the trailer to having some funny moments in the diary room to ultimately being turned into a robot, will this endear her to the audiences enough that we should call her the prohibitive favorite to win a advantage from the viewers?
Yeah, I definitely think she's one of the favorites. It's hard to tell exactly how this voting is going to work because it seems like it's not necessarily the favorite, I think, that's going to get the power. It's just whose name comes up the most often. And so you're answering 5 different questions. You know, not all of them are going to be which one do you like the best.
Yeah. But after the premiere, I mean, how many people is the average person who watches this episode going to remember?
I think the most visible people, one of them being Sam, another one probably
Swaggy
being
C. Yes. Yeah,
like that's the thing is I could totally see Swaggy C getting it if they're like, who's the most outrageous person so far? Or who's the most annoying or who's the most, you know, in danger or anything like that? Then all they have to do is say Swaggy C and he gets the power. And so this is exactly what I said during the draft. Which was that it doesn't matter. They're not going to be like, if you're trending, you're not going to be trending for good reasons. And like, that means that you could be trending for a bad reason or a good reason. And so people that we hate might end up getting powers because they're trending.
Well, they're going to get punishments. And Taryn, I don't know if I've heard
the people who they're not talking about.
Yeah.
The people who don't get mentioned are getting punishments. The people who we hate and we're talking about a lot because we hate them, they're getting powers.
It's just like real life.
Yeah.
Keep talking about the people you hate and you give them all the power.
Is that how it will work? I thought that there were negative questions and the people who are trending in the bad way were going to get punishments.
I don't think it's particularly clear, but here are the five questions. The first one is, which house guest is most entertaining to watch? Mm-hmm. The second one is, which one is the annoying you the most? Which gameplay is the most fun to watch? Which one is the funniest? And then which one has you screaming at the television?
So the person who gets mentioned the least is going to be mm-hmm. punished?
I assume so, yeah.
This could be an anti-floater movement. What do you think of that?
I think it just makes it a lot easier for them to control the votes, right? Because it's really just mostly about visibility. So all they need to do is put somebody on the screen a bunch, and then that person will probably be quote unquote trending.
Okay, well, we'll see Sunday night. We'll get the first look at how the App Store will work. Let's keep going through our other cast members. Tyler, I thought he had a good first night, of course, that he came off pretty well. Melissa, you noticed something about Tyler that we talked about him being a super fan. I saw you post on Twitter that he seemed to meander a bit walking into the house.
Totally. It seemed like when they called his name right away, he was like, oh, shoot, I do not want to be the first person walking in. I do not want that first out curse. The first in curse. Mm-hmm. So you could see that he was like, I'm going to pick up my bag really slowly and look around and kind of give like a gesture to the audience. And then eventually after he saw Bailey just like run right in there.
Yeah.
Then he went in after her.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes. No person who has ever gone into the house first has ever won the game. Is that correct, Taryn?
Yes, very correct. Okay. And any super fan of the show would know that. And you could see in his eyes, he was like, I'm going to just make sure somebody else goes in there first. Yeah,
he lingered. Okay. Then we had Bailey, who I thought did pretty well in her first night. I do think that the producers may have burned out all of their flight attendant jokes on night number one. Not sure if there's going to be much left in the overhead compartment.
Rob, these are the same people that played the same train noise every time we had Becky on the screen. This is not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah. I thought she had a couple of good moments with Swaggy C, where she seemed to have an understanding of the dynamics of the house that maybe Swaggy C didn't have, Melissa.
Yeah, I could see them getting along at first, but I could definitely see them getting into a heated argument sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He seemed we'll talk about that as it comes up. Okay. And then Summer, Steve, Taryn, your boy. Here he is. What do you think about night one for Steve?
I think they were very generous. It felt like they were playing him up to be an entertaining character, but even
Summer
just
Steve 2018.
Yeah. Even just in the scenes that I saw, it felt like, I mean, even when he discovered the room, the secret room, the stash room.
Yeah, hold on. Here, I have that clip. Hold on. Here's Steve discovering the stash room.
Being a retired detective, I observe everything. Boom. Another bedroom. Boom. I know a stash room when I see one.
Stash room.
Where they stashed all the brightly colored sheets.
What is this? Rock star? She's a festival coordinator? Maybe she's going to must be into some narcotics, too. Probably put it all in the stash room.
So weird. But he seemed very separate from the group, even when he was sitting there and figuring out that the wall moved. It didn't seem like he was involved in a lot of discussions, and that, you know, we didn't see much, but from what I saw, it did not counter my prediction about him prior to this episode.
Melissa, I loved it that the producers at least gave us a glimpse of Steve in the bath at his home. We got to see that this is going to be a thing.
This is where I find my zen. He can be the toughest tough guy. Bubble bats, they're just awesome.
Just awesome.
Oh god. And they like zoomed in like right down into the bubbles, and I was just like, why? Why are we doing this?
Imagine being that cameraman.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's your assignment.
Right. So there's a producer. He's at Steve's house. Like, all right, Steve. Okay. So we got you. All right. You pretended to be surprised when we gave you the key. Okay. I mean, what else? Is there anything else? Well, I could get in the bath. Like, okay. Yeah.
Let's
no. Yeah.
Draw the bath. Zoom here. I'm playing.
Yeah. Look where I'm playing.
I could show you guys my stash room.
Okay.
Summer Steve.
Comes Summer Steve 2018. He even dropped the Summer of Steve, Taryn.
Yes, he did. This is it's the summer of Steve. There's a Reddit post that that's a I won't say conspiracy theory, but a theory that the first letters of each word in Summer of Steve are SOS, and that that secretly Steve has been put into the sunken place, and Paul is in control of his body, and so Steve is trying to get out a message subtly that he needs some help with Summer of Steve 2018.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Okay. It's the kind of thing you find on Reddit.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about Caitlin, who came into the editors are having a lot of fun with her. Melissa, do you think Caitlin has more of a shot or less of a shot based on what you saw tonight?
Well, I was mainly surprised because the only reason that I was even considering drafting her was because she said in an interview that she doesn't plan on revealing the crystals no. thing, the life coach Five thing seconds. To anyone. I was like totally fully prepared for her to say that she's a yoga instructor nope. and have that be the end of it. And immediately the second she walks in the house, she has to bring up the crystals. She has to bring up the auras. She has to bring up giving him lavender. It was like,
well, Rockstar might have outed her. like, oh my God!
She went straight to Rockstar.
And she knew.
All she has to do is say, they could say, "Oh yeah, I'm really into that stuff." Okay, the end of it. But you could sense that people were like looking at her strangely when she said, "I'm 24. I'm a certified life coach," and it was just like, "Okay, wait, what?" So no. Yeah, I don't think that's a good move for her at all.
Yeah,
and also to Scotty, oh, you have my favorite energy.
He's like, oh, yes, okay, blue. Thank you.
Rachel yeah, has red blue. Energy. Taryn, is this a Rachel Riley thing of that a Rachel in the Big Brother house has to have red energy?
Yes, exactly. They needed to make the connection somewhere, and Caitlin was she saw it. She manifested it.
She could sense the auras. Okay, so here comes Winston, and this was a surprise to a lot of viewers that Winston came out with. He's at the shooting gallery and he's talking about how he loves guns and he carries, he's a big believer in the Second Amendment. And it's like, okay, that's fine. If that was part of his thing, but they opened with that, Melissa, that his bio, there was no mention of this. And then this was like his thing.
They were like, oh, you guys like Winston? Okay, well, let's see what we can do here. I was totally thrown off. And I honestly, I'm hoping it's one of those Christine things where she's like, I'm a nudist. And we're all like, whoa, she's a nudist. And then literally that never gets brought up throughout the season. I'm just hoping that they couldn't really find anything with him. And they were like, what can we pick up on? All right, this is what we're going to go with. And that is my hope. At this point.
And like they even opened on a shot of him in scrubs, like as though he were some yeah. sort of medical professional where, and it, that's like, that is perfectly in line with how everybody wants to see Winston. Everybody's been, eating up his bathing suit pic, loving his interviews. And then he comes on.
I don't know if I'm more of like a Justin Timberlake or, he comes Ryan on Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling in scrubs, and then 2 seconds later, he's shooting guns. Yeah. Like, I love the Second Amendment.
What? Wow.
It was so not his like in his lane at all. I was so shocked. I thought that they had cut to another person's bio. Like mm-hmm. I thought they were over Winston. I was like, oh, that's all we get from him. Okay. And then I thought it was like Brett or something. And then it was like, oh. Yeah. Oh.
And I just want to emphasize that this was just a shock because this was not mentioned in any of the interviews or his bios or anything. And then this was like a totally different person that they put into the house.
Yeah, he's like, I love to go to the movies with my gun. Like, yeah. I make sure to get an extra seat every time, put him in a little place. I always go to the recliner movies because the gun needs some reclining space. It's crazy.
I feel like that is the absolute worst thing to say that you like to bring your gun to at this point in time. It's like that or schools or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, don't mention those things. Like if you want to say like, look, I like going to the shooting range. I like doing this or that. Like, okay, cool. Like, but to mention, like, you don't have to bring up any place. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to mention any place, but definitely don't mention going to a movie theater with a gun. Like that's just so insane to me.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yes. I'm sure we'll, you know, have many live feed updates to discuss all this. Let's talk about Angela. And Angela had a big night. Melissa, I know you are very high on Angela. You have to like most of what you saw tonight, right?
I'm not high on Angela. I got drafted Angela after everyone else went first.
So well, number four overall, right?
Yeah, but I was never going to pick her. My plan was never to pick her.
Then I'll take her. That's fine.
So maybe we're going to trade with Karen.
All I'm saying is that I will trade with any of you guys. She did a fine job, but I'm so worried already with her because she comes in there showing her abs and how fit she is.
Well, she's fitness model. Like,
the first competition. And mm-hmm. yeah, sure. It wasn't a physical competition. The you know, scrounging through the stuff for the folders. But then like to then compete really well in the next one. And I just feel like she comes out too strong already and too physical already, which was my biggest concern for her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like her. She seems like a great person. And she seems like, you know, a smart girl, but I just feel like she's already coming on too strong with the physicality of it. And that was my biggest concern for her. So I'm worried.
I'm not as worried personally, just because the first competition that she won seemed like mostly luck, like finding the folder. Mm-hmm. She happened to find the folder that said play. And then she ended up losing to Swaggy. So it's like, you know, I bet there were other people within that group of eight that were like, oh, if I were up there, I probably would have been able to beat Swaggy.
Yeah.
So I'm not as concerned. We'll have to see how she performs in the upcoming HOH competition before I start to really be worried for Angela.
Okay. Let's talk about JC. Taryn, did JC surprise you tonight, or this is about what we expected?
About what I expected, yeah.
I saw people saying that they were surprised about his degree, which I don't think he mentioned in his bio.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should surprise anyone. Like, anyone can get a degree. Like, degrees are not, like, just because he is a goofy dude doesn't mean he can't have a degree. Like, it's not that surprising.
Yeah, and just because he gets a degree doesn't mean that he's automatically some super intelligent right. person that we should all be impressed with, you know? Like, I'm surprised that he even brought it up. I wasn't expecting him to use that as one of his, like, selling points.
I thought the amazing thing about JC is that somehow he comes into the Big Brother house wearing shirts that appear to be too small. I don't know. You think this is amazing.
Very form-fitting.
All of his clothes, very, very form-fitting, JC. But he seems like...
I loved him and Sam as the robot. Mm-hmm. How he, like, was looking at her so incredulously as the robot. Like, we're going to be best friends. And I loved it. And I hope they form an alliance. And I hope that, you know, they're best friends for these next 2 weeks if she's a robot.
He already had a hard enough time understanding her.
Yes, he had a hard time understanding Sam.
Hello, Big Brother. I need subtítulos.
And also that there was a little bit of a misunderstanding between Sam and JC on Sam's part.
And he already made it known that he's part of the LGBT community, so I guess I'm just going to have to sit this one out.
What's that? LGBT?
LGBT or something.
LGBT.
And he already made it known that he's part of the LGBT community, so LGBT. I guess I'm just going to have to sit this one LGBT. Out.
Like Google what that D is. I don't know.
I was very confused about that at first. I was like, wait, so you're ruling him out about what? Like, for what? Oh, romance. You thought he's cute. Oh,
she wanted to date him. She wanted to date a guy who looked like that he has not taken a shower. And I guess that JC maybe fit that criteria.
JC does not look clean. he looks like a cucumber.
Uh-oh. I guess minions kind of do. All right. Let's go to then Rachel came into the house. It's kind of a quiet night for Rachel. Do you see anything that stood out to you, Taryn?
Not in particular. Yeah. I mostly, like, she talked about flirting and she talked about guys.
Yeah,
that's all I remember. I
did see Scotty running after Scotty at that one scene.
Right, yeah, Scotty might have played a little too hard to get on the hey, we have to kiss him now. And then Julie interrupted. Like, I think he wanted to get caught. And although maybe that was a femme fatale.
I don't know why everyone's like ragging on Scotty for playing that wrong. Like, why do you think he hasn't been kissed up until this point? Like, he doesn't know how to handle these situations.
It's not a normal reaction. Like,
right. No, I don't want to be kissed.
Like, pulling a full on like Kevin McAllister and like running for it. All right. Then, of course, Swaggy C. What a night for Mr. C. Of course, Julie referred to him as Chris on the way in, Melissa. I'm sure that was a buzzkill for Swaggy C after he spent thousands of dollars building a Swaggy C wardrobe.
Yeah, all that merchandise.
All the merch.
I was surprised that Julie didn't call him Swaggy C, but I kind of liked it. But then they started calling him Swaggy C, so I was like, okay, what are we going with? I was more surprised that they were calling Angie Rockstar, because I feel like now I've gotten used to the Swaggy C thing, and I have not gotten used to just calling a person Rockstar yet.
I could see them leaning more into Rockstar one, because it fits, and also because there is also an Angela in the house. I think that might be extra confusing for the viewers to have an Angie and an Angela. But, you know, Swaggy C does have Swaggy C written on his shirt. So maybe Julie was going to leave that up to him to explain that. Or as JC would say, that is a
hello, big brother. I need subtitulos. Subtitulas.
Hello, big brother. Someone's gonna be doing an impression of him in the next like.
Yeah. So Swaggy C had kind of a real up and down night, I thought, Taryn.
It felt like mostly down to me, to be honest. I feel like people were very, I will say, I think a lot of people were very high on him at first. Mm-hmm. But I think by the end of the episode, a lot of people have jumped off the Swaggy C train, which it's totally going to change as soon as the feeds come back on. But
yeah.
Very, very confident, Swaggy C, and refers to himself in the third person, and lots of trash talk coming from the good old Swag. Yeah.
So many things about Swaggy C tonight. One, Melissa, I love that we found out that he actually babysits suburban kids. Yes. That's
I was shocked that was his intro package.
We thought he was a day trading mogul.
I'm not day trading.
I'm not day trading. I'm babysitting kids in the pool, and I can't swim.
You call him Swaggy C, and he's just like, I expected a very different intro package, and then all of a sudden he's putting on water wings and like,
put my wings on
by the poolside. I was like, oh my god, I loved it. I was very into his intro package.
Well, Taryn, we know he hates the beach. We didn't know it's because he can't swim.
Well, that's one of the reasons, obviously.
One of the reasons. And then it's very hard to babysit the kids at the beach also.
And also, you can't be day trading at the beach.
Yeah. And then he ends up winning the competition. But then he seemed to I don't know if you would call this HOH-itis or maybe too much swag, Melissa, but he seemed to really lose his mind where he started talking about how that there was a great scene where we saw where Bailey was like, look, I think you're coming up a little too strong. And it's like, oh, OK, yeah, I got it. And then he talked to himself like, no. I need to go in there. I need to stare these people down. That was the plan all along.
He's
I need to go do it.
Stares all around. Yeah. Like, oh my god. Annie in the chat said that it was like these Macbeth style soliloquies.
Yeah, he's totally monologuing.
He's monologuing in a room by himself. I'm like very interested to see if he does that all the time on the feeds, or if they just like picked up on one and like aired it, or if this is like that's him. He's just going to monologue.
This was 100% Poppin Paul Jackson. I need to become the villain. I need to puppet master.
It totally was. It was like, this is the opposite of the conclusion you're supposed to be coming to. Like the exact opposite.
Yeah. All right. We had Rockstar who came into the house in full Rockstar uniform, Melissa. And we found out that Rockstar is also a pagan witch, which did not come up.
Yeah, I had seen that somewhere before in an interview or something. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, gosh, this is going to happen. But then I was like, you know what? Johnny talked about this sort of stuff in his interview. And that was never
a thing. But so, I buy it a little more with Rockstar.
I'm hopeful that she doesn't bring this up. Ever. Oh, geez. Yeah. She's an interesting character already, but you know, she's already lost the glasses. So
Taryn, I loved it when KC came back with her punishment and Rockstar was like, wait, hold on. That's not a punishment. I love that. I want that.
I should have lost. She would have been replaced by the robot, though. She didn't lose the right company. She wouldn't have lost the right competition.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been better for her game if she had lost the competition and had to wear that, because then she could be like, this is being forced on me. This is, you know, not my clothes. Like, I don't dress like this. So now she doesn't really have an excuse.
Yeah. And we found out that Rockstar's life philosophy is a peace through partying, which I feel like is just a eyelash away from Plur, Taryn.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot right of people there. Said they felt like Angie was a grown up Plur. I also feel like she's an alternate reality Gen City. I feel like I've gotten that, especially when they call her Rockstar. I feel like a similar vibe in the names too. So, you know.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Let's get to Brett. And we definitely had concerns about Brett being an uber douche. There were certainly moments, but I'd like to say that they were confined to the diary room. Melissa, what is your read on Brett through one night?
I feel like our original assessment was completely spot on.
Mm-hmm. Which was,
you know, douche.
Still a douche.
Bro. Douche bro, I guess. Like, he's just a total bro. And he's like, yeah, I just like to do bro things or whatever. And it was like, oh boy. And I guess to be fair to him, it was seemingly confined to the diary room and to his intro package. But on the other hand, we didn't really see him at all interacting elsewhere. So that's basically all we saw. And that's basically what we got.
Yeah. When I was talking about Brett, I was assuming that he was going to be a slimy douche, but he's a lot more of a bro douche. And there's a huge difference. The most telling part to me was when he came out of the diary room after having completed the folder competition, and he just like was all bro-y about it. He was like, woohoo, yeah, bro stuff. He's got that bit of mad in him.
He called us bro in the diary room, and I was like, I'm not a bro.
What did he say?
I don't know. He just said like, bro, this is what I'm thinking of. It's like, it's weird to say that in the diary room. And then the second they cut back to him in the challenge, he was like, bro, I can't even find this thing. It was literally like, he starts every sentence off with bro.
Don't bro me if you don't know me.
Didn't he say like, Brozart or something? Like,
yeah, Wolfgang Amadeus Brozart. That's not like that's
so
like
2009.
Yeah. On a night of things that were really 2009, that was even, I think 2009 is a compliment for that. When he said about how, oh, I don't hang out with the nerds I work with because they're trying to play video games, that I kind of felt like, well, is he trying to do like a Cody thing maybe, Taryn, if I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt? It's Brohan Sebastian Bach. Thank you, Bill Hall, in the chat.
Well, wasn't it that he said he doesn't like to hang out with the nerds that he works with because he likes to hang out by himself playing video games? I thought that's what he said.
I don't know. He also had like a weird thing where he's like, people underestimate me because of how I look. So I wear these glasses. Like, don't you want people to underestimate you? the whole idea of being underestimated is to then take advantage of that. Not to then. So I put on these glasses. So then they think I'm smart now.
It was very Survivor Amazon Jenna. Like, oh man, people really discriminate against me because of my beefy, great looks. But I'm actually super smart.
Hey,
okay.
His comment in the diary room was about his frat house after a rager.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't get much more bro than that.
I mean, he's in like his mid-20s, right?
When he was like, when he said, oh, it's like I'm in computer sales or something. And it was like, isn't that
technical
your job
sales now? Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what that is. And if you go on his LinkedIn, he says he's in sales. So
that's how he changed it.
He really doubled down on the cyber terrorists that he fights every day as an American patriot.
His LinkedIn.
Yeah. And if Brett is in the house, is this the time for the bad guys to strike, Taryn?
Clearly, what are we going to do?
It's like a selfish move. Like, I can't see Jack Bauer or Chloe taking 3 months off to go on Big Brother.
Exactly. And like, what's going to happen when, and you know, this is going to happen. Brett's going to get all of the votes and the people are going to be like, oh, the Russians, they've been interfering with the Big Brother app store. And Brett is not here to stop them.
Yes. If Brett is who he says he is and he does have friends, would you think that there is a high likelihood that Brett's friends will be able to hack the BB app store, Melissa?
I hope not. I really hope not. But you never know. He's very powerful.
I don't see, the Big Brother production crew having any cybersecurity experts on the payroll. So I don't know if they're going to be able to defend against this. Yeah.
They might have bit off more than they could chew. They might have to go back to 99 cent of a phone call. All right. Casey, quiet night, got the pinwheel of doom. She was literally gone for 45 minutes out of the episode. Melissa, any thoughts on Casey? Because I've got very little.
I loved her intro package with her family. They were so cute. Her mom, yelling.
Yes.
That was great. And the fact that she watches with her dad, I just thought it was really sweet.
Yeah. Taryn, any thoughts on Casey?
Not particularly. She really was gone for quite a while. She didn't have like a big role in the competition either. No. She didn't even get a losing moment. Winston got to walk in and then it was just like, so she's gone.
Yeah. And nobody missed her. And then she's like, has a power. She has to get stuck in a room sometimes.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Like, okay, how is that a disadvantage in almost any way?
All right. Then we met Scotty tonight. Taryn, were you higher on Scotty after getting to see him in action?
I don't know if I'd say I'm higher on him, but I think it just kind of confirmed what my thoughts were on him, which were pretty positive. I think that he managed to blend in pretty well with the other house guests from what we saw at the very least.
Best aura ever.
Exactly. Great energy. And that's a decent step up from previous winners in this archetype, Ian and Steve. So it's looking pretty good for him so far.
Yeah. Melissa, what do you think about that? The added wrinkle we got of Scotty has a bit of coordination. He called it that he's really athletic. I don't know if I would say that, but he seems to have the types of skills that you think that might be applicable to Big Brother physical challenges.
Yeah, I already tweeted out that I'm having a lot of trouble viewing Scotty as quote unquote really, really athletic.
The most athletic.
Just not seeing that, first of all. Second of all, his intro package did him absolutely no justice, where they show him like throwing a frisbee and he misses. I don't know. Maybe, and also those armbands he keeps wearing. I thought maybe it was medical at first, so I didn't say anything, but then he wasn't wearing it anymore. So I was like, okay, it's a fashion thing. I can safely comment on it. And it is very strange to me. And maybe he thinks that it will make him appear more athletic or help him in his athletic abilities because, you know, athletes tend to wear those like compression armbands.
Oh,
no, Melissa, these are the armbands of a virgin, unfortunately.
Okay. I forgot.
Is that how he's marked? And then he can take it off once he loses his virginity?
Them. Yeah.
That's how you mark them.
Wow. I think they look cool, but like no women would ever think they look cool. Like that kind of thing. Like nerds would think they look cool.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
then we got to meet Haley tonight. Taryn, you drafted Haley. We got to see a side of her that I didn't really get that she's like the farmer's daughter until we saw her package tonight.
Yeah, it kind of came off a little bit disingenuous, to be honest, because she kept talking about, I grew up doing this. I used to do this stuff. And meanwhile, we're seeing footage of her doing it. But it's like it felt like, OK, you grew up on a farm, but you've left that behind. Clearly. Also,
her biggest thing was about like one of her big things in her interview was about how she raised a goat once and how she never wanted to do that again. And I feel like, OK, so I don't know if I believe that she's this like Southern farmer girl, which
she's also a scientist.
I'm never raising a goat again. And like, I don't know. I just feel like I didn't believe it, her intro package at all. And I was very surprised that they went that direction because I feel like they already have that sort of character with Sam. So I have no idea why they chose that. I thought they were going to go with like some sort of like, I'm a college student and I'm really, you know, pretty and da da da. But nope, they didn't go with that. But I, you know what? I liked her in the house and I liked the way she spoke to Swaggy C and convinced him to keep her side safe. So I, you know what? I really liked her so far.
Now, Taryn, we were talking about the other night about how she likes a guy who's tall, dark, and handsome. Fessy was self-described as tall, dark, and handsome. And it's once what, it was kismet that once they once he said, hey, my name is Fessy, she's like, oh my God, he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's so my type.
Yeah, and he was staring her down. Mm-hmm. So it's a match made in Haley Heaven, and they're going to do well together.
Yeah. Speaking of Fessy, let's talk about him. That he was the athlete. Came across as a little self-absorbed when he talked about how the student's reaction when he walked in the room, Melissa.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. And also, how do we pronounce his name? I feel like I heard it as
Fessy.
Fessel and Faisal or Faisal.
Yeah, Julie said Fessel, but the bios the pronunciation guide that when I was at Faisal, and he says he wants to be called Fessy. So I think we can just avoid it all but, of the controversy by calling him Fessy.
Yes,
let's just call him Fessy.
But then this was another thing that I did not pick up, and maybe I missed it, but Fessy tells us that he is a Muslim, and he comes around, we see him praying. Will we get a Kyle Shore moment, or Kyle Hand, I forget, Big Brother Canada 2, where that he where another house guest will reach and we'll make a bond with Fessy and pray with Fessy.
I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, if it ever happens, it will definitely be on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some room for some bro bonding here.
Yes. Who will it be? Will it be Brett?
I think it's Winston.
Winston. Okay. We'll see. Swaggy C maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. We'll see if Fessy's around long enough for that to happen. Okay. All right. And that's it. That's our 16 people. So there they are. So I really like this cast. I mean, there's not anybody. And I definitely did not feel this way last season of there's nobody that I'm like, why are they here? What a misfire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Nobody stands out as like, I mean, if anything, maybe it's Fessy who's like made the least amount of impact, but you know, we'll have to see.
Okay. We'll see. I thought that maybe Fessy and Casey were gonna bond over, you know, you have two football receivers in the house, but it seemed like that Fessy is trying to hide that information, Taryn.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just people unnecessarily hiding things. It's like really weirds me out. Have we talked about Tyler?
Yeah, briefly. We just said he had a good night. Didn't go in the house first.
Yeah, right.
anything else you want to add about him?
I really liked Tyler. I on top of the fact that he didn't go into the house first, I liked his reaction to Angela being like, oh, we're from the same hometown. He was like, no, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Hilton Head. Yeah. It seemed like his head was in the game very, very quickly. It seems like people are already starting to like him. So I'm feeling Tyler here.
Okay. Now, the stash room, Taryn, was that intended to be a twist or that the house guests are stupid and just didn't realize that there was a sliding door?
The second one.
Yeah, because they really treated it like Scotty's like, I know there's a third room, but I don't want to act like I know the layout of the house, but I'm not going to go around trying to find the secret room. Inspector Steve was able to figure it out.
Throwback to Big Brother 6 where they find the gold room.
Mm-hmm, yes.
They find the pink room.
There's so many clues they needed to find it. So Let's talk about the two competitions, because Big Brother took a weird turn, I thought, once we got to the competitions. Everybody is standing outside, but then we had a systems crash. Half the people went to go play one game. Half the people went to go play the other game. Listen, did this work for you?
No, because they kept doing that stupid teleporting thing that I'd like, and they're like doing that thing where they're probably like over the loudspeaker, like, okay, everyone look around, pretend like you can't see what's going on. Like everyone's looking around, and then all of a sudden they disappear and the other people are like, where'd they go? I hate it when they do that. I know. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's cute. It's fun. It's not fun to me. And I hate it.
It's so campy and dumb. And then Julie, I think that this is a little bit of a disconnect. Like she treats it serious. Like it's done. Like I should be like, oh my God, what's going to happen? But Julie like treats it deadly. Like it's really happening, Darren.
Yeah, and keep talking about, oh, it's so high tech. And I posted the GIF of 1966 Star Trek, the original series, had better teleportation graphics.
This is the most high tech thing that we've ever done on this show. It's like, but nothing is, there's not like a tinge of humor to it.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
It's totally serious. And also, they kept doing it. Like every time a person opened up a folder and they like stepped on the thing, it was like every single time they did it. It's like, okay, the first time, all right, silly, goofy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they kept doing it over and over, like as if it's like, we impressed you the first time, but we'll do it again. And it's just like, no, stop. That's enough.
Taryn, would it make any sense whatsoever for any person to go back into the dark room to try to go play for the escape and play folder?
No, because it's not even a great position to be in.
You wouldn't even know if it's been found. Like it wasn't like the superpower folder has been found. Like the first person could have had it.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Do you think maybe it would make sense to go back if you got the escape and play to not have to play? Like you could put back that folder and go back in, so that way you didn't have to be part of any sort of like.
Oh, you didn't want to be in the challenge. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess that was the only thinking I had. It didn't ever cross my mind that you would go back in to try and play. I crossed my mind like, oh, maybe if you get the folder where you have to play, you don't want like that, you know, spotlight on you right away. Mm-hmm. You put it back, just get a regular escape folder.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think if I had gotten the play, I would have asked if I could trade it, and then would have been like who's the best competitor here, so that they can win and save the rest of us. Let's give it to that person, and let's let hopefully somebody else stand up.
Yeah. But if they told you like if you were like okay, can I trade this with somebody, and they said no, would you then put it back and go back in to try and get a normal folder, or would you just play anyway?
Yeah, because there's no way I'm risking getting a punishment that they said could affect my entire game, because I have no idea what kind of nonsense. Like maybe I become America's player or something. Like I'm not risking anything like that.
What if you were the first person to pick a folder?
There's still no way, because it's so random, like whether or not you find one. Never going to take that chance.
I also thought that it was a bad competition for the first night, because we barely know these people and now they're in the dark and I don't even know who's in this competition. Yeah. I'm taking notes and I'm like, oh, what is Scotty doing here? I'm like, oh, okay. That's Winston. He's not even in that. So
I couldn't tell who anyone is until they would come out with their folder. Like before that, it was just, I have no idea.
I thought that was a misfire. And then this other competition was what? We're going to put people on bungee cords and then you have to spell out a word with blocks. And Taryn, we're trying to figure out if somebody is a robot. What? What is this?
Real life CAPTCHA.
Yeah, I mean, that that was explained to me on Twitter, but like that was not what that was like. There were ways to do that. Where's the cable coming in? What?
You're looking for logic in all the wrong places, Rob. You're not going to find it here.
The whole thing was so bizarre. Swaggy C ends up being the winner, and he's intense. He's intense. And Haley ends up trying to talk him out of being so intense. Swaggy C, this is when he decides that he's going to start death staring everybody. Did Swaggy C go through with the death stare plan, Taryn?
I mean, not that we saw, but it's certainly possible. The Fiends could come on tomorrow night and they could be talking about, like, man, remember when Swaggy death stared us?
Yep. Yep. Melissa, I want to talk about the interaction between Angela and Swaggy C. It seemed like there looked like there was a spirit of cooperation, but it ultimately ended up with Swaggy C really mistrusting Angela, being very upset. Did Angela handle this poorly?
I mean, she gave him a banana. I don't know what more she could
that
have
was
done.
After. That was after, though.
She didn't even hide a pickle in it.
No.
She gave him a normal banana. What more could he ask from a person?
Yeah. I didn't really follow what she said that made him so upset, Taryn.
Well, he was wanting safety, right? That, like, okay, we're both going to be in the competition. If we guarantee each other safety, then we're both guaranteed safety. The problem was Angela had already agreed with the other eight that she would keep them safe. So I actually feel like she made the right move here. She stuck with her original word. If she promises Swaggy safety, then she's put herself in a position where she's already going to have to break a promise to somebody. So you have to just be open about it. I feel like she handled it as well as she could have. Maybe the move is to not promise the eight safety beforehand.
Yeah, but she's got put on the spot. I thought that Rachel put her in a bad spot. Rachel's like, hey, how about, like, oh, how about this? How about, like, the whoever, whatever power you get, that we keep the eight of us? That'll be good. Like, what is Angela going to say? Like, well, let's see how it goes.
When there's eight people who are, or six people who are like, oh, you're going to give us safety, right? Like, we're all going to work together. Then of course you're going to say yes. And then when Swaggy does the same thing, I feel like she did the right thing in saying, like, look, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, maybe what she could have done is said, well, actually we had already talked and we had sort of agreed that we would all save each other. And I don't want to break my word this early in the game. I don't think she handled it poorly. I think she could have handled it better, but I don't think she handled it poorly.
Yeah, and also, Swaggy C is not the HOH. He has a limited amount of power. He can select eight people that are safe, but he can't promise that he's not going to put people on the block. I think you're probably better off keeping the group of eight that you are with happy, or the other seven people you're with happy, as opposed to just if you alienate Swaggy C, really all he could do is make you be half of the house that's not safe for this week. I also want to issue a correction. I said that Haley talked to Swaggy C, and obviously it was Bailey that talked to Swaggy C. So that's a bad job on me with that one.
Also, are we going to talk about how, like, this was exactly Big Brother Canada?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean,
minus Andrew getting the goblet from Maddie.
Right. Yeah, it was big. And we talked about the Big Brother Canada 6 premiere as, like, why do we care about any of this? Because you don't know the characters. We talked about that with this episode. So it was basically the Big Brother Canada 6 premiere.
Heaven and hell.
They elongated it unnecessarily with a bunch of boring competitions.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, okay, great.
Devin in the chat says Swaggy is Hamza.
Yeah,
it's all happening.
Oh, it's going to be a recreation of BB Can.
Okay. So we have the surfboard challenge. Ultimately, Swaggy C is going to win. And then the groups come to pitch Swaggy C on who should be safe. I kind of felt like that it was a little bit of a cop out that Swaggy C had to save his own group, Taryn. Shouldn't Swaggy C just be safe and then he could pick to save the other three people in his group?
I agree. Yeah, because the three in his group didn't have to pitch anything. They just got lucky, and they were automatically safe, which it eliminated so many picks. Right? Like, it would have been a lot more compelling if they weren't just automatically safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there were three groups that were then vying for Swaggy C to save them. Melissa, I was surprised. It seemed like the group that ultimately did get saved was the group that we didn't even see campaign to Swaggy C.
Well, that was Haley's group, right? Where she said she was the one who convinced him and basically told him, look, like, the easiest way to not get blood on your hands is to just say, look, I want to save the people that all came in with me in the first eight or whatever. Just because that's like the easiest way. And I don't want to, I don't really know everyone yet. And I don't want to pick sides. Like, I'm just going to pick you. But I feel like, which I feel like is a great idea. I think it's very smart because it's easy to be like, look, I don't want to get blood on my hands. I just want to pick this because it just makes the most sense. It's the easiest way to pick. And there we go. But instead, then he gave a speech saying like, look, I'd love to save you, you, you. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to save these guys. Like, it was just like, okay.
But so I'm friends with Fessy, so I'm going to save this group.
Yeah, it was like, everybody's mad now. It's like, now you've got a lot of blood on your hands, because then that group's like, okay, wait, so you didn't actually like us. You just said you had to save us. And these groups like, okay, you like us, but you're not going to save us. And everyone, and then the people who weren't even talked about are like, oh, so you don't like us.
Yeah.
So everyone's mad.
And Taryn, nobody got thrown more of a curve than Steve, because he was telling us in the diary room, he's like, oh, Swaggy C, he's going to pick us. That he's got us. No doubt in my mind.
I know all about where people stash their safety. I think it says a lot about Swaggy C that he was pitched in three different ways, and the way that he went was this idea of not getting blood on his hands. Bailey is essentially pitching like, we're friends, you're cool with these people, let's stick together. Then the Steve, Angela people are pitching like, you know, she deserves respect, she's an athlete, she competed, you got to throw her a bone. And then the Haley group was saying like, this is the lowest of the keys, this is no blood. And that's the one he went with. And I do agree, the way that he went then about it was the complete opposite of getting no blood on his hands, because he was like, Bailey, you're my best friend, but I'm not gonna save you. Mm-hmm. Which is basically just like, so here's a huge target to put on your back while I'm safe.
It's a Hilton Head South Carolina all over again.
Right. And he said what was it? Bailey, Tyler, and the third one. And there's four people in that group. He named three of them. He intentionally left one of the people in that group out of that list of people that he wanted to save. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. So
it was just bad.
Too swaggy. Just too swaggy for one night. too much going on. Okay. We talked about the robot costume. I love that idea. Melissa, anything else from tonight's premiere that you want to touch on before we get into some questions?
Not particularly. Just, I feel like I think there was too much time spent on competitions and not enough time spent on seeing the house guests interact with each other. Literally, the only thing we got to see of them interacting with each other was them talking about how hot each other are.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not okay. Like, that's fine, I guess. But it was like as if they went in the diary room and were like, the DR was like, okay. Now.
Well, I took good notes on that, Melissa.
Which one do you think is hot?
Yeah, who's okay? Cool.
It rarely amounts to anything. It's usually
exactly.
Like they say, oh, this person's so hot, I'm so into this person. And then they've showmanced the entire season with somebody completely.
Well, here, I'll give you the reaction server. I took copious notes during this part of the show. Okay. All right. Swaggy. He said, hey, I'm Swaggy C. We got no reaction from anybody else from the diary room for Swaggy C. Number two was JC. That was when we saw Sam talk about how that he is cute. But too bad he's in the LGBT community.
Potential showmance right there.
Yeah, too bad.
And he already made it known that he's part of the LGBT community, so I guess I'm just going to have to sit this one out.
Okay, she sounds like Jordan Lloyd and Peppermint Patty.
Yes, get me some subtitles.
Hello, big brother. I need subtitles.
Subtitulos. Okay. Then Winston, Rachel Likey.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Brett is in technical sales. Nobody commented on that he was hot.
Ooh.
It's too much of a bro.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Not good.
Also, I think it's a tell if somebody goes on one of these shows and they give you two boring words back to back. That's a fake job.
Yeah.
That's like somebody, don't trust a person with two first names. Like, don't trust a person that tells you on a reality show they have a job that's two boring words.
Fair.
Think about it. All right. Sam, she has an accent. She needs subtitulos. Haley, Fessy likes her.
Okay. All right.
That's a match. That's a match. Steve, we're working a family-owned garage. But Tyler said that Tyler was on to Steve, Terrence.
I love the way Steve said it, too. He was like, and I don't know, mechanic on a family owned garage.
Engines, V4, V6, V8.
Total afterthought.
Also, but, like, he was totally dripping sweat as he's talking about it.
Take off
like,
the blazer!
It looks so suspicious. He's just like, yeah, I'm a mechanic. And he's like sweating.
That needs to be some kind of like meme or gif. But yeah, then he's like staring Tyler down and Tyler's like, what is this? Which is funny because Tyler has got like these bug eyes. Then like would
yeah,
be
Tyler as the person who's commenting on someone staring at someone else. No,
we got this one perp kid, Tyler. I'm on to him. I'll pat him down tonight.
Looks like one of these stoners.
Looks like one of these punks goes to outdoor music festivals.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Casey, nobody liked her. Fessy, Haley likes him.
Wow, we really have a match there.
Caitlin, nobody liked her. But everybody talked about chakras.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what a chakra is. Winston says.
Sounds like sexual violence.
Yeah. And he said, I'm not into that right now.
Yeah.
Now was a keyword.
Did you say right now?
He said, yeah, I thought that's what he said. Angela, fitness model. Nobody mentioned her specifically, but Scotty talked about all of the femme fatales.
Well, Tyler did say that Angela was hot back when she was talking about being from the same hometown.
Mm-hmm. And then Rachel. Then we only got Caitlin talking about her aura. Tyler is the lifeguard. Nobody talked about how hot he was. And then we met Bailey, the flight attendant. And Tyler gave a producer line about how that he would give mouth to mouth to any of these girls that were out there, which was a little extra.
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So want to get to some questions?
Well, I did find the rules for the App Store.
Tell us the rules.
It says that the most and least voted for house guest will gain access to a special reward or punishment, respectively. So it is just amount of times that your name shows up. If your name shows up the least, then you get a punishment. If your name shows up the most, you get a reward. Once a house guest wins a BB App Store reward or punishment, they are ineligible to receive another one for the duration of the BB App Store program. Yes. Once they receive a reward or punishment, you can no longer vote for them in subsequent App Store votes. Evicted house guests are not eligible to receive votes. So. Yeah.
This is going to be super lame.
Once they get one, they can't get one again.
Correct. Once they get a reward or a punishment. So you could get a punishment and then become a fan favorite or a very, very trendworthy person afterward, but you are no longer eligible.
But the punishments be like, oh, Jess and Cody, you have to wear a frog costume the whole week. And like, Ramsey, you have to put yourself on the block one of these first 3 weeks.
Yeah. So essentially, we need to just vote. Like, even if it's who's the most annoying house guest, you just put your favorite.
Yeah, if you want them to receive a reward, just put their name down 5 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just put whatever house guest you like down for every single answer.
Yeah.
And don't ever answer the person that is actually annoying to you. Don't ever answer the person that you actually don't like.
So, or if you want to intentionally try to get somebody punished, you're able to vote 10 times. So you can put everybody's name in multiple times throughout those 5 questions. You got 50 chances here. Put in 50 people's names except for one person.
Now, should we get the tabulator to replicate the quiz on robbiswebsite.com so we can get an accurate sense of how the quizzes are polling?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. One other moment from the episode tonight. We didn't talk about how there was the wardrobe malfunction when Scotty went to give Haley a hug on the way into the house.
Wardrobe malfunction. What a goober.
What a goober. What a goober.
Yeah.
I was like, is he calling her a goober or is he calling himself a goober?
Yeah, definitely calling himself a goober.
Yep. Okay. All right. Let's get into some of what you guys have to say. And let's bring up the questions sent into the show. Gerard says, I think I figured out why Scotty has never been kissed. He runs away violently from attractive women. Is this a suboptimal strategy, Darren?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair though, I think it's a better strategy than just like kissing her. Them? I don't think she actually intended to really.
What would have happened if she would have found him?
Nothing good was going to come of that situation. Like, mm-hmm. Joke kissing is not going to work out well.
Right. Yeah. No means no, Rachel. Leave him alone. Okay.
Maybe in the real world, he could have kissed her, but not in this situation. That would have been just a bad idea.
Yeah. Don't chase him down. Okay. All right. Jay Mackey says, why do they insist on staging key findings on a show they want people to believe is real? I mean, yeah, I think we've probably talked about this for years on this show, of the idea of these people are with a camera crew. There's all these people around. They're like at a restaurant and a waiter brings out like, whoa, key. Well, I've got a Big Brother. You guys weren't just filming me for nothing. where would we see Haley had like found a key like in a bag of dog biscuits? Like, she's like feeding an animal like out of a sack, and then a key fell out.
Didn't Angie's come like out of her baby?
Yeah,
under the baby. Like, why, who's for what? Like, oh, it's not like that. You find got this golden ticket of you get to, I found the key. I've been looking everywhere all over my house and I haven't found it yet. I guess I'm not on the show.
I've got a golden ticket.
Yeah. So, they should just be like, they had the key. And it's like, oh, wow, I can't believe it. I'm going to the Big Brother. Stop pretending that you found the key. It's so stupid.
They're all not very good actors. So they're all like, like, okay, yeah, we get it. They should just be like, yay, I'm going to be on Big Brother. And they should do that packing scene where they like, I can believe that pretend packing scene where they pretend to pack up their stuff. But the key finding thing, I just can't believe it.
Right. Okay. Christopher Johnson wants to know, general question, do you think that there'd be enough material to make 3 BB episodes a week with more efficient editing, no filler, Taryn? Would that be possible?
Yeah, I mean, I do a podcast every day that covers lots of relevant
stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Like even on Big Brother 19, I was podcasting for at least 30 minutes a day. Big Brother Canada 6, it was like an hour a day. So and that's just talking about it, let alone showing the actual scenes.
Yeah. I would love to know from somebody who was there, like, how did the actual mechanics, and I'm not talking about Steve's fake job, of the filming the live show, like, do they just film everybody going to the house and then a bunch of reactions of the crowd shot? Because I can't imagine all those people, all those alumni, were sitting there while they did 3 competitions, Melissa.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I had heard that they like shuffled them out right away. They kind of like had them all go in, and then they kind of just like had everyone leave right away. So they didn't.
Seems very boring to go to.
Yeah, it seems really boring unless it's an eviction. I mean, the premiere, I guess it's just always
like, hey, let's look at these people. They're going to the house. All right. Bye, everybody. Okay.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, get out of here.
People that we don't know or care about yet.
It's a good dude. Okay. All right. This is from Trevor, who says, after the first episode, who do you have a different impression of, good or bad, than you did in the preseason? Let's pick one person and say fortunes rising and fortunes falling from where they were the other night. Okay. Melissa, who if you don't have both, you can give us one or the other.
Fortunes rising, I think Haley. I think she did a good job this episode. It seemed like she had a good head on her shoulders because she was the one who convinced Swaggy C to keep them safe by saying it's the least blood on your hands, et cetera, et cetera. So it seemed like she had a good handle on what to say and what the best arguments would be and how to give those arguments. And then Fortunes falling. Maybe not fortunes, but maybe just my impression was unfortunately Winston, but I'm hoping that will change once the feeds are back up and once that whole thing becomes non-existent.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn.
Yeah. I was going to say Winston as well, but I guess, I'll say Swaggy C for falling. Mm-hmm. I talked about how he seemed like he might have a little bit of aggression in him. And I think we saw even more than I anticipated. So that's not super promising. And then fortunes up, maybe Bailey. I feel like I liked how Bailey was handling things. I mean, not great that she wasn't able to get her somebody who called her his sister to save her. But it did feel like she had a decent handle on the house and sort of the social relationships.
Yeah. I'll say that I'll give you two people that I think are up from where I thought. JC, I thought that he could come in and be a train wreck, and he seemed like he was very likable. We'll see if he wears on people for 99 days. And then also, I thought Rockstar came in and seemed like she was perfectly fine and fitting in with this group. So we'll see. And I was not high on KC, but I think I'm even more down on KC after one night. I just don't see anything there.
Yeah,
not feeling it. Okay. All right. A few more questions. Zahul says, how many Swaggy C t-shirts did Swaggy C wear in this episode alone? How many did he bring? So many fonts. Taryn, this would be a great thing to keep track of on the live feeds. Let's set an over under tonight. How many different pieces of Swaggy C apparel do you think that Chris Swaggy C Williams brought with him to the Big Brother house? I'll set the over under at 5.5.
Are we counting all pieces of like hats?
Any headband,
pants,
Scotty band. Yeah.
I'm going to go higher than five
and a half. Melissa.
Oh, higher for sure.
Oh, higher. Wow. How many things do they have? Is this Swaggy C on them?
Literally probably everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like all his clothing. Yeah. Every single clothing item, including pants, underwear.
I tweeted that Big Brother was punishing him, but I kept making more uniforms that did not say Swaggy C on them. Yeah. Every time you have to keep putting on another costume. Like, what? This doesn't say Swaggy C on it. Okay. All right. This is from Kieran, who says, is it just me or does Haley look like Andrea Belkey from Survivor? I'm going to say a little bit of a reach.
I mean, maybe a little bit of it, but
I saw parts of Raven and Haley, which was surprising, but I was like, whoa, that looks very similar to Raven, and I'm like feeling strange.
Okay. Christian Country Boy, epic fail. There isn't a BB app for voting on the app Vantages. If you're gonna let me meddle with the game, at least let me do so with a convenient app. Very exciting to see a new season start. Let's twist again, but not like last summer. Ring that bell. God bless. Yeah, Taryn, should there have been an app that you download from the real app store to vote on Big Brother?
Yes, but at the very least, you should be able to vote on the official CBS app, which you can't.
Or the CBS website.
Let's not get crazy voting on websites.
Yes. What is this, the year 2200, Melissa?
I tried voting on Twitter and the bot was already down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to use Facebook, Kick, Skype, Kick? Or Twitter.
What's Kick?
I don't even know what Kick is.
It's like something.
It's like kids, like K-I-K?
Yeah, it's like what young kids use is like. Teach
me to come over and kick?
What kids use to bully each other. That's the only thing I
shut it down. Shut it down.
That's the only way I know about it.
Yeah, is that why it's called Kick? Used for bullying other kids? Okay. All right. Let's see. Two questions here. Drake says, please discuss Steve sweating like a nun in a cucumber patch when he was told the house he was a mechanic. And then just realizing that sweating like a nun in a cucumber patch is quite a dirty colloquialism. Yep. Yeah, it is. Yep. It is. I don't think that nuns or cucumber farmers appreciate that. I don't think so.
No, I feel like if I'm a cucumber farmer, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Cucumbers are desirable in multiple ways.
Yes. Yes. Do we have any nuns that watch Rob as a podcast? We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Let us know if you sweat cucumber patches.
No. I'm sure that nuns do not, Taryn. They've only the purest of thoughts and intentions. Okay,
We're trying to make sure we get the truth out there. We don't want to. We don't want to let Sam perpetuate this fake news.
Any room with Queen It's Melissa is about 10 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than usual. Is this an accurate depiction of you, Melissa, with the fan?
Thanks, Bot. That is accurate. I have a fan right there. It is currently 83 degrees in here.
Okay.
So, yeah, very hot.
Yes.
I like that Melissa Bot is making up for the previous shade. Yes.
The previous comments about my look. Now the Melissa's Bot is going over the top.
Yes.
But not under the covers. To try and make me feel better about myself.
None Your Business on Twitch says sweating in the cucumber patch is Randy Glanville territory, right?
Exactly.
Yes. Now that was, I believe that was a squash or a gourd.
I'm sure she wouldn't discriminate.
Yes. Okay. All right. Then Brian Williams, not the NBC anchor, says, does Sam remind you of Waterboy's girlfriend? What do you think?
Yeah, I can see that.
All right. Elizabeth says, when will the TKO wrap up go live? As soon as Matt Hoffman says he's ready to go, we'll talk about TKO. All right. And then one other question. Was there an open invite for the alumni to be in the audience, or did they handpick the duds? That's from Melissa. Taryn, do we know about how this invitation process worked?
I don't know if it was an open invite, but
I thought it was.
I didn't hear from anybody that didn't get an invite.
Okay.
I don't know if it was like, I feel like they all got personal invites, I think.
From what I understand.
They all got invited, but they weren't going to pay the flights. Which makes sense that they wouldn't pay the flights now. At first I was like, why won't they pay the flights if they're doing something with all the alumni? But apparently they weren't actually doing anything with the alumni. They just like wanted to pack the house with them, which mm-hmm. like, and then not show them at all and not do anything with them and not talk to them, not even literally say their names. Like, it was just so dumb. I could see why they didn't want to pay for anyone's flights at this point.
Well, I think they wanted to have one person in the audience from every season. I think that Big Brother wanted to take the victory lap of, hey, it's our 20th season, but I think that they did not want to really invest any time in the alumni from the previous 19 seasons.
Yeah, except we had a 2-hour premiere that was packed with boring stuff when they could have put that in there, which is what I actually wanted to see. I've been so excited about all these past players being there in the audience. Maybe we could hear from them or see what they look like now. And instead, we don't get that at all. And we just get like random challenges and stuff. Okay.
Okay. All right. What are you going to do? All right. So let's talk about what's coming up tomorrow night. Big Brother 20 premiere night, night number 2. Taryn will be back and Brent Wolgamott will be joining us. And I believe that is all kicking off. I believe, is it tomorrow night at 9 Eastern is the show. And then we'll be on at 10:15 again on Thursday night. And some, please correct me before the end of the show if that is incorrect.
Yes, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. And then, of course, lots of other stuff is coming up because the live feeds are going to kick off on Thursday night. Taryn will have the first live feed update coming your way on Friday morning. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, so much going on here this summer with Big Brother on Rob Has a Podcast. You're going to want to be part of it. You could help support Rob as a Podcast by becoming a patron and getting access to all of the behind the scenes content and patron only shows, everything that we're doing on Rob as a Podcast. You can be a part of our ever growing community when you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. And what fun we had tonight here. And to my knowledge, I don't think we've had any major computer system crashes or anything like that. Feels like this went pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk spoil? You want to talk? Just update the spoilers. Okay.
We do have some spoilers.
All right. So let's update. Let's update some spoilers before we log off tonight. And then, of course, when the feeds kick in, we will have even more. But let's talk some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Buzzy with my phone. My kids took the buzzer out of here. I got to get that back in here when the live feeds start. Okay. Taryn, we talked about during the draft show the other night that there were the rumors, the speculation about an HOH and mm-hmm. who the potential first two nominees were. Did the events of tonight's episode lead you to have more confidence in those alleged spoilers?
Yes. The spoiler said that only eight people were eligible for nomination. I believe only eight people even competed in the HOH, possibly. So that all pans out. So we have no reason to believe this is not true.
Yeah. Looking on track for a Tyler HOH, Melissa, and for Sam and Steve to be the first two nominees, and a really rough break looking like for Sam to end up being a nominee and a robot.
Yeah, that is not good for her at all. I feel like you can't talk strategy with anyone when you're literally not there and you're a robot. So I'm really hoping that if she is a nominee that, they let her be in the house for more than just 10 minutes as herself and not just for like sleeping or going to the bathroom or something. I really hope that she can go mostly in the house as herself and then just a little bit, just enough to have like a funny like montage as the robot.
Yeah.
I just realized 100% she is the robot during the ceremonies and like having to give
the speech. Yes. And on eviction night, she will be the robot also, especially I think if they know that she's going to be safe, I think that they might have the robot sit in the chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
The robot is testing at like 99%. Everybody's loving the robot. So that'll be very fun to see how that plays out. Now, do we expect that the veto to be limited to only the eight people that were potentially, is that what they did on Big Brother Canada 6, Taryn? Or will the veto draw be open to people that were, because you shouldn't be able to be, because you shouldn't be eligible to play in the veto if you're not eligible to be put on the block, right?
I think Big Brother Canada 6 did not allow the other people to play in the veto. So, and I would assume that would be the case in the past when there have been safe people. I don't think they were allowed to play in the veto in BBUS. So.
Yeah. And if we're looking for any particular reason why Tyler might be looking to put Steve in particular on the block, we talked about how Tyler was getting a little creeped out that Steve was staring a hole through him.
Yes. Also, apparently, Steve and Sam were the first two eliminated from the HOH competition.
Yes.
And that was the reasoning used.
Mm-hmm. I would expect tomorrow night, Melissa, that I think tomorrow night's show, I think we will find out who our HOH is, but I don't think we will get nominations until Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be HOH.
Yes.
Which, I wish they had done that this episode. I don't know why they had to draw it all out, but okay.
Which, Taryn, just to go back to the things you were talking about with Erica and Big Brother Canada 6, I think it would be a disadvantage for Sam and for Steve to not have the episode air where they get nominated before people are able, like the App Store voting closes.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, if people knew that Sam was in danger, they'd be a lot more likely to.
They might just feel bad for her. She's a robot. But then if it's looking like, that she's likely to go up on the block, it might help her chances to get one of those App Store apps.
Yes,
but very true. Like they showed her enough that people would vote for her anyway. But I don't think they'll vote for Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the questions could be, people could end up answering Swaggy C because he has such a memorable name on that quiz. And then he could end up, winning the power because he's trending.
Yeah, I feel like this first week, it's going to be interesting when they reveal, what the voting results were, because then I feel like the voting public will be like, wait a second. So we're giving this person a power, even though we said we hated this person. And then they might start changing the way they vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to play it through. So if we get then nominations coming on Sunday night, that would put us on track for the regular Big Brother schedule, where then we'd see the veto play out on the Wednesday night, July 4th episode, and then have the eviction on Thursday night. So I think that if we just have the HOH tomorrow night, that would get us on track in terms of where the competitions are supposed to fall during the week.
Yes. And we also have some more information.
Yes. That we can talk about. What do we have?
Just some hints about alliances and stuff. Apparently Casey, Angela, and Rachel are working together.
Wait, who is reporting this?
Same source, Vegas for sure.
Vegas for sure. Is he sure?
Apparently. They previously said that Tyler and Casey have made a final two. So Casey is involved with Tyler, but she's also close with the girls, Angela and Rachel. They had also talked about Brett and Winston having a major bromance and a final two. They even shower together, by which they mean that they talk. They like to talk game in the two showers.
Yes,
where nobody can hear them. Swaggy C and Bailey have apparently made out. So a little weird when he called her his sister.
Damn. Yes. Swaggy.
But he seems less interested in a relationship than she does, apparently.
How do we know all this?
Don't know.
Who's leaking this stuff that's like, and Bailey doesn't seem that interested in a relationship with Swaggy C, but they got to first base already. Pass it on. Tell Twitter, but don't tell Reddit.
Yep. apparently Bailey and Sam are a duo working together. They seem very close. So
JC
Sam does have some allies.
Cereal every morning also.
The next map. and then apparently Caitlin has been very flirty with the boys, started a lot with Winston and Brett with over the top laughing and giggling and hair talk. This seems very biased reporting to me. then said she's moved on and is crushing on Faisal. And yes, she does have her boyfriend back at home in parentheses. So
what is this gossip column that you're reading right now?
The Gossip Weekly.
Yeah, this is like a feed leak. Angela has girl, really. Angela has a thing for Fessy, but she has a boyfriend back home.
Yeah, like
the boyfriend
sure.
is at home. What?
There's been no reporting on who the target is, if there's a backdoor plan, like what the votes are looking like. It's all like, she's got a boyfriend and, you know, these people are making out.
Steve is really sweaty today also. too much. Okay. Travis in the chat says Julie Chen leaked all this. So I don't know. Yeah. Okay. All right. Melissa, you have any thoughts on this?
Just that
fading.
They've been right so far, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see. Because really, this is like the only week that Vegas for sure has a lot of power, essentially, because we can't see
HOH-itis for sure.
It really is HOH-itis at this point, because it's like she's the only
one. Back to being a have-not next week.
Yeah, she's the only one who can tell us what's going on. And then after the feats come up, it's like, yeah, we don't really care.
Do we know, is Vegas for sure a man or a woman? Do we know?
I believe Vegas for sure is a woman.
Okay.
But I don't have I don't have proof of that, obviously. But, but I have heard things that make me think that Vegas for sure is a woman.
Wait a minute. Is Vegas for sure one of Brett's buddies that has hacked into the live feed?
The cameras. Yes.
They're hackers. We don't know.
Brett is coming across really well. Brett's abs look great on the live feed.
All the women are hitting on
Everybody
Brett.
Everybody is so hot for Brett. Winston takes a shower with him, but it's Brett that's carrying the concealed weapon.
Vegas for sure could literally tell us anything and we'd have to believe it. So it'd be like, oh my God, Winston is so annoying. It's so hard to watch him.
So
He's
much
the
worse
worst.
Than Brett. Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, but that's just like an opinion. We could be thinking something completely different. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So much fun tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Of course, you can watch all of our shows live when they're happening. Go to our new page on RapidsWebsite.com, RHAP.live. Anytime to when we're live, we will be there. Of course, you can watch us on YouTube, on Twitch, Periscope as well. Of course, and subscribe to the podcast, robiswebsite.com/iTunes for everything that I do. robiswebsite.com/BBpodcast for all things Big Brother. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And that's going to do it for us here tonight. Follow It's Melissa with three wonderful A's at the end. And of course, follow Armstrong Taryn on Twitter. Taryn, a great episode of the Taryn Show with the trending, as always, Brent Wolgamott.
Yes, did that on Twitch, on my Twitch channel. I had a lot of fun. We asked plenty of questions, and people really enjoyed it. Okay. So if you want to see the video, you can go to my Twitch page. It's still there in the video tab.
I'm just going to wait for Vegas for sure to tweet what happened.
Vegas for sure knows all the details about the staircase trial.
Yes.
They know whether or not Michael Peterson actually did it.
Oh, okay. We'll wait for that. All right. Great stuff tonight. Very fun premiere. Can't wait to be back here tomorrow night with Taryn and Brent. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.